arrived in February, and he'd been in for a few weeks before I arrived, but I took over, and I saw him every day for 2 or 3 months, and then he departed back to Jura, and then he started to cough up blood, and they took him into hospital down in, I think he went to a private hospital somewhere near London, and then he went to one of the big teaching hospitals in London, and he died there. Well, he certainly, almost every time I went in, he was sitting in his bed typing away. He wasn't a very communicative chap, and of course and George Orwell was not a big name in 1948, you know. Mm. I mean, he wasn't a well-known chap, and generally, I mean, he was well-known in the literary circles, but he was not well-known to the general public. And just to illustrate how that was, I got a signed copy of Animal Farm, and I left it in the hospital. It's probably worth several hundred pounds by now. But he was just in an ordinary bed. I mean, he was in a room with another bed. And it was interesting because the other bed came to be occupied by this chap from Dundee, who was a journalist with the Thompson lot. And he'd written a lot of sort of schoolboy things about public schools and things. And of course, the senior surgeon, who was Bruce Dick, he anticipated that there'd be great ructions, but in fact they got on very well. You know, they managed to reach some accommodation and treated each other with respect. But it was quite interesting. But he didn't really speak very much, George Orwell, partly because he was always typing. And he was a pretty uncommunicative chap. You know, I think everybody said that about him as a patient. He smoked all the time.
Yeah.
He rolled his own cigarettes, which was fairly unusual in these days for a middle-class chap to do that. And most of the pictures that I saw of him, he had a cigarette and a typewriter. But he wasn't well-known.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was so up to my ears at work and with ordinary clinical work and surgical work, and then all the studying that was going on. I didn't have time to pursue. I mean, I read Animal Farm and quite enjoyed it, but it didn't move me the way it moved people, and indeed communities were moved by it, weren't they? His publisher in New York, I think it was New York City, he one of his great friends, who was the editor of The Observer, I think.
David Astor.
He contacted the publisher chap in New York, and we got 100 grams of streptomycin, and he got that. 1 gram a day, because the standard dose in these days was 2 grams a day, which was pretty dangerous stuff, because you could affect your hearing and your balance, and he got an allergic reaction to it, quite a severe one, not threatening, but unpleasant. And he describes it in some of his publications, which are very, it's a kind of description which I couldn't do as a clinician, but he did it very skillfully. And I think it did help a bit. I think he had about 3 weeks of streptomycin, and then we had to stop it. And of course, we didn't know about desensitizing patients to the drug, but that would be complicated, because he would almost certainly have become resistant to the streptomycin. The bug would have become resistant, and he would have become resistant anyway, almost certainly, because he was only getting a single drug. Of course, there was only one drug at that time.